In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So last week we ended on the postulate of the cause of the beatification of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. Met Father Elijah and sister, Mother Gabriel, and said that Cardinal Ratzinger in 1997 gave his approval of all 36 volumes of The Divine Will. So that's from the postulator. And what we're waiting for is the final authorized writings. And that's what they're working on. They want to release the English, the Spanish, and the Italian all at once. And since it's growing all over the world so quickly, they're really working on all the languages. So where we are today is the Benedictine Monks of the Divine Will. The Benedictine Monks of the Divine Will are a Catholic religious community in the Diocese of San Marino, Italy, established by the Bishop of San Marino. The monks live a contemplative Benedictine life of work and prayer. The Benedictines of the Divine Will are the little children of Christ the King. We had celebrated that feast yesterday. And Mary the Queen, who strive to live in the kingdom of the Divine Will on earth as it is in heaven. And this is where all of us are in the Divine Will. We begin to live this abundant life. This is what God is waiting to see happen in us. So what happens, how can the kingdom of God begin to reign in us on earth as it does in heaven is, as Jesus teaches Luisa, we don't want to live with any worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, or sin anymore. We don't want that. We want to die to our ego and our will. And what is our ego and our will? What is our human will? It's what we say when we go to confession. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I'm confessing this weakness, this misery. And I don't want to live like this. What can I do, basically, to develop that perfect life of Jesus and Mary? So we want to make a perfect act of contrition. We want to make a desire to avoid any near occasion of sin. And that's what it means to begin to live in the divine will. Now, Jesus is going to bless us because we have the book of heaven by giving us lessons of how to do this. And when Jesus said to the apostles, you must be perfected as my heavenly Father is perfect, that's what the saints have been striving to do for 2,000 years. So, What is happening with the Benedictine Oblates is they live a life of the Holy Family of Nazareth in the new Eden of the Sacred and Immaculate Hearts of Jesus and Mary. This new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied was coming, quoting the words of St. Honorable de Francia, is this guided by the Holy Spirit under the protection of St. Joseph. And they utilize the ancient monistic wisdom of St. Benedict with Eucharistic adoration and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, to glorify the Eternal Father. So Eucharistic adoration is part of our life. And, we are called, by the Lord to fall in love with him and never to leave him alone. That's the words of Luisa. I will never leave you alone. So in the Blessed Sacrament, we want to be there with the Lord. We want to adore him and love him and praise him and thank him. We want to train ourselves to fall in love with God. And how do you fall in love with God? Is by falling in love with God, adoring him and loving him and praising him. And see, we begin this after every Holy Communion. For that 15 minutes until the host is dissolved, we are in communion with Jesus. We're one with Jesus. So the community ideal is the life of Nazareth, which is perfect peace, joy, and love, which is heaven. In union with my bishop, this is Father Elijah, I extend my priestly blessing to all those who faithfully follow this little consecration of the divine will. So the Benedictine daughters of the divine will and the Benedictine sons have now moved to Knoxville, Tennessee, the Diocese of Knoxville, Tennessee, and they're here in the States. So this is a great blessing for all of us, and to watch as that community grows and keeps on growing. So the Benedictine Daughters of the Divine Will are a public association with the faithful established in 2011 under His Excellency, the Bishop of San Marino, and renewed by his successor, looking for a religious community dedicated to living a life of prayer and work according to the rule of St. Benedict with Eucharistic adoration and the Divine Will writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, are at its very core. And this is something that, as you begin to read, as you begin to study, there's nothing like the Book of Heaven. Jesus says it's the only book that will transform a soul. He says, if you want the writings of the servant of God and you want the rule according to St. Benedict and Eucharistic adorations, you've come to the right site. We're also devoted to the Sacred and the Immaculate Hearts of Jesus and Mary, the chaste, glorious heart of St. Joseph, and the spiritual childhood, which together form the cornerstone of our growing family. It's all very simple reality. It's a life at Nazareth, and it's all about love. And see, that's what the divine will is. The divine will is this infinite ocean of love that each and every one of us wants to dive into and never leave. And that's what you find with the Book of Heaven. I love the saints. I've read the lives of the saints for most of my life, and there's nothing that can compare to Luisa. The saints teach us how to do the will of God, how to become spiritual. It's a life of a devotional life, a life of peace, joy, and happiness, of doing the will of God. But what Jesus teaches Luisa, he says to Luisa, I've taught no one this yet. He says, what I'm going to call you to, who wants to live in the divine will, I'm going to call you to not just do the will of God, that's volume 1 through volume 10, becoming a divine mirror of Jesus, the exterior life of Jesus. But now I want to teach you, Jesus says, the interior life of Jesus. How did Jesus and Mary live that interior life? And as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, this communion that you have with Jesus becomes more intense, this life. And that's what he says. He says, I gave the church the Holy Eucharist to prepare them with Holy Communion, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, to prepare them for the perennial communion that they're going to receive in the kingdom that will never end, where we will walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening. So this due to the enthusiastic interest of our charism of many lay people, the Benedictines of the Divine Will have begun an oblate program. The Bishop of San Marino gave his blessing to this lay branch of the religious community. Now, all those who feel drawn to the Benedictines of the Divine Will, yet not to the religious life, can now live our charism from outside the monastery walls as oblates. Okay, so basically, this is going to be a private consecration that you're going to make with Jesus. And it would be good to always follow basically what the brothers and the sisters are doing. So all those who feel drawn not to the religious life, but to the charism, learn, she says, from Father Elijah to the oblates. He says, read the Divine Will writings of the servant of God for at least 1/2 hour a day. Pray the Holy Rosary every day. Participate in Eucharistic adoration whenever possible. And if you can do an hour a day, especially with the internet, you could go to any perpetual adoration throughout the world and in your own home, you know, adore God, love God, praise God, thank God, glorify God, to spend your time with Him. Pope St. John Paul II in the 80s wanted Eucharistic adoration in every parish. And it's almost as if with the internet starting 10 years later, we had this opportunity with the perpetual adoration in many, many places throughout the world. Cultivate fervor devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Joseph, as well as to St. Benedict, St. Scholastica, St. Honorable de Francia, and most especially to the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. Learn about the Benedictine life, especially the holy rule of being little. To be little. As Father Bucci would say, to live in the divine will, you have to be little, insignificant, and hidden. This littleness is what God loves. you know, to live in our nothingness. That's another wonderful thing to learn, how to live this divine life in our nothingness, to have nothing, but to have our Lord as everything, to spend this time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, to pray the Holy Rosary, to see the life of Jesus through the eyes of Mary, with the heart of Mary, is nothing can compare to that. And now with the Book of Heaven, it's even more spectacular. So now we're going to talk about Father Stefano Gobbi. It was really funny. Father Gobbi had a great personality. I went to many of the retreats here and throughout the world. Father Gobbi said, you know, he asked Our Lady, "Why did you choose me?" And Our Lady said to him, because I could find no one shorter, fatter, or than you. And he would always crack us up. He was so in love with Jesus, so in love with Mary. Here's the following talk of the Second Coming of Christ by Father Gobbi. And if you haven't read the book To the Priests, Our Beloved Sons, you'll be astonished. Everything that what's happening now was predicted by Our Lady to Father Gobbi. And I remember when I would go to the retreats, I would be it was really early. It was 19. Let's see. I was introduced to Father Gobbi in the 70s. He started in 73. And I remember going to a lot of the retreats, and there was a lot of gray haired priests there I was the only dark haired priest at the time. And it was always good. I was a good friend with Father Rue of St. Francis, Maine, a great holy man, a great priest. We laughed a lot. It was a lot of fun. So, dear Mother, this is Father Gobbi turning to the statue of Our Lady next to him. "Forgive me," he says. "I am not pleased that the serpent is here, but I am pleased that you crush its head. Crush it." Now, that's one of the things you have to understand. Wherever Our Lady is, the serpent is always there as well, under her feet. Under her feet. At Holy Mass, people are very, they don't understand that wherever the Eucharist is, wherever Our Lady is, there's always those Satanists that are there as well. They despise our Lord. They want to destroy Jesus. They hate him, and they will do anything. And this is why the Eucharist has to be protected. The Eucharist has to be protected by the pastors of the church. The keys shouldn't be given out to everybody. The key belongs to the pastor, and he's in charge of the Eucharist. And these evil ones want to desecrate Jesus. And but you have to understand, you know, if a lot of times in parishes, there's disorder. There's a disordered spirit that comes. And these are the people that unfortunately don't pray normally. And you got to pray for these souls. It's not to condemn them, but you got to pray for them that they will find, or an exorcist priest would find them and exorcise them, so that this evil can be gone. And a lot of times the evil comes in through childhood, through Ouija boards, astrology, tarot cards, palm reading, and these are hooks that the devil puts into people. And even, you know, demonic movies, you know, a lot of the demonic movies in the 50s and the 60s had actual curses and hexes and spells cast on the people that were watching it. And these hooks that are in the people can only be unloosened, taken out through confession. Confession is the only way. And confession, this is why it's so important to go to confession, make it part of your Catholic life, and to recognize that in time, the sins that you may not have confessed, the Lord will bring to mind. And then when you go to confession, you can say, you know, "Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. I don't think I ever confessed these sins," and confess them. And these hooks are then, you're free to advance, if you want to say, to the Lord. So she says, he says, I am not pleased that the serpent is here. The serpent is, he's everywhere. I mean, I've seen him in Fatima and in Lourdes, not him personally, but the demonic. And don't be afraid. One angel is more powerful than all the demons put together. So if you're consecrated to your angels, if you're consecrated to Our Lady, if you're consecrated to our Lord, if you're really focusing on the divine will and consecrating yourself in this, God will take care of you. It's you've got to be on the lookout for the demonic that is around you. It's far worse than it was in the 50s. Why? Because Jesus said to Louisa, I've got to release all the demons. And Louisa said, you're the Son of God. You don't have to do this. And Jesus says, you don't understand. Humanity wants the release of the demons. And so therefore I have to give to them what they want. And this is why it's so important that we get rid of all that, the hexes, the spells, the curses. We get rid of all of that. And you know, Father Ripinger has a really good book. I've got it over there somewhere on the book of, it's not exorcism, but it's what the laity can use to pray to defend their families. So your children aren't lost. Your grandchildren are not lost. It's your parishioners are not lost. It's God is going to, when the divine will reigns, finally, when it reigns, when the kingdom of God is established on earth as is in heaven, when the Our Father is the prayer that Jesus gave is fulfilled. When the kingdom comes on earth, the evil one will be gone. He can't stay here. He can't stay here. He's been banished from heaven. When heaven comes to earth, he'll be banished from earth. And that's where scripture says no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. So what is coming for us is glory. So this is what our Lady said. In the end, the power of Satan will be destroyed because he, the devil, will be rendered powerless. Being bound, he will no longer be able to do harm. He will no longer be able to lead creatures to say no to the will of the Father, because humanity will say yes to the will of the Heavenly Father. In this perfect fulfillment of the divine will, creation will return almost to its original state. Now, why almost? Because it's more than the original state. If we're not going to go back to just what Adam was given, we're going to go back to this origin that of image and likeness of God. But our Adam is Jesus. Our Eve is Our Lady. So creation will return almost, but it's going to be even more glorious, more beautiful, more splendid, more spectacular than what we could ever have imagined, to a new earthly paradise. That's Our Lady's promise, in which all humanity will say yes to the will of the Heavenly Father. See, what's coming is the evil one can't win. He can't win. And our job in the divine will is to pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Why? So that people can embrace this kingdom of the divine will on earth as it is in heaven, to live this peace, joy, and happiness, this heaven now. So Father Gobi says, there is a mystic Louisa Picaretta. Now Father Bucci would say, Louisa is different than all the mystics before her. The mystics before her had visions, apparitions, and locutions. What you're going to discover and what the church will proclaim someday is what Louisa possessed. It wasn't just a locution. It wasn't just a vision. It wasn't just an apparition. She had this life of Jesus when she saw him, heard him, she was alive. She said, I can breathe. I am alive. But when she didn't see Jesus, she says, I'm living dead. She said, I have no life in me. I have no breath in me. I have no heartbeat in me, Louisa would say. So it's not the same mysticism that the saints have had. Like I love to read the lives of the mystics, but what Luisa possesses is something unique. So there is a mystic whose cause for beatification is in progress, who wrote the great works about the divine will. And Father Gobi says, when I was in Mexico, I was given some of these writings, which related to the numerous aspects described in our book to the priest, our beloved sons. I was impressed by them, and I could read the exact text to you. He says, but I don't have it with me today. And then he says, this is so glorious. Then he says, it says that every 2,000 years, there has been a great renewal. So from Adam to 2,000 years later was the flood, the deluge, which purified the world of all that the sons of God interbred with the daughters of Adam. This interbreeding, this changing of the DNA, what does God say? Right after that in Genesis 6, he says, I regret making man, that because man didn't want what God wanted for him. So the flood came and he said, I found one family. They had a pure line back to Adam and Eve. One family was pure. Their DNA was not changed. Now, this is the evil one trying to destroy that which is of God. And so Jesus says about Noah, he says, we have to thank Noah that he saved the human family. The DNA that was interbred, destroyed, the DNA of God breathing into Adam was gone for the majority of humanity. So that group had to go. And then 2,000 years later, after Noah, the only family that had a pure line to Adam and Eve, where the human generations began again, was when Jesus was born and Mary was born, where they were looking for the Messiah. They were longing for the Messiah. And then he died on the cross, taking the place of fallen Adam. And he was on the cross of Barabbas. Bar is son of Abbas, Abba. He took the place of Adam, and he was a bigger man. So they drilled the holes where the nails were going to go through, and then they would just bend the nails on the other side. And since Jesus was not as big as he, they dislocated his arms. They dislocated the bones in his chest. They dislocated his legs, his hips. Everything was dislocated, and then they nailed him to the cross. So when you think about the crucifixion, it's just not nails in the hands. It's just not scourged. His body was all dislocated. I mean, the pain. I mean, you've gone through dislocations. The pain is just unbelievable. But having his whole body being dislocated, this is the thing that is so sad, so terrible that what Jesus went through. So he says, I would read this, but the next 2,000 years was the after the deluge. Was the deluge of blood. Jesus shed every drop of his blood to redeem us. And he says, and that redemption is just the beginning, basically, of what God is bringing us to now is sanctification. So after 2,000 years, there will be a deluge of fire. But it's the fire of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the love of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Through Luisa, this purging of the earth, this consuming fire of love is coming to humanity. So he says, the spiritual fire. He says, think, finally, the kingdom of the divine will come upon earth, because every creature will then be able to fulfill the divine will in a perfect way, be perfected as my heavenly Father is perfect. So this purification is coming. For, as Our Lady said, it will be good for some, but it will be bad for most. How will it be good? It will be ecstasy. The suffering that we're going to go through will be ecstasy. It's when you look at the ecstasy of Saint Teresa Avila, the ecstasy of Saint Catherine of Siena, their body was, angels shot arrows of love into them, and it was it was so painful that it became an ecstasy for them. And this is like the highest degree of spirituality that God gave to the saints. But now with Luisa, it's even more. This, what we're going to go through, the ecstasy that we're going to go through, the spiritual fire that we're going to participate in of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, is going to be ecstasy. So Jesus, Father Gobi says, I think that this return of Christ in glory will be able to bring the kingdom of the divine will into the world. And each creature will be able to do the will of the Heavenly Father in a perfect way. And the Heavenly Father will be glorified by these children of his who will say yes to his will, who will say fiat to his will. And Christ will then bring about his kingdom. This is a kingdom of holiness, a kingdom of docile obedience to the Heavenly Father. So then he says to the priests, it's so great. My brother priests, this kingdom of the divine will, however, is not possible if after the victory obtained over Satan, having removed the obstacles because Satan's power has been destroyed, this cannot happen except by a most special outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is the second Pentecost. So he's telling us, get ready for what God is going to do. Now, the second Pentecost to me is volume 11 through volume 19, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. This, Jesus said, I have taught to no saint. I've taught to you, Luisa. So this anticipation of this second Pentecost, this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to come to the earth. When that happens, when we begin to see clearly what God has planned for us, there's going to be no question that we'll have heaven on earth. The Blessed Mother to Father Gobi, the new era, which I, Our Lady, announced to you, Father Gobi, coincides with the complete fulfillment of the divine will. So that at last there is coming about that which Jesus taught you to ask for from the Heavenly Father, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This prayer of the Our Father is going to be fulfilled. This new era is coming. And if you haven't read the new era that Jesus told Luisa is coming, I think it's 15 pages. I think there's three parts to it. Read the new era. Oh, my goodness. There is such joy. There is such hope. There is such confidence in our God. There's nothing to worry about. Yes, we got to go through this purging. We got to go through it. Jesus says the divine will is so beautiful, so holy, so perfect. He says that the world, the church and the world has to be purified. It's so beautiful. The church has to be ready for this. That purification is needed. So this is the time of the Holy Spirit that is being accomplished by humanity. From the perfect fulfillment of the divine will, the whole world is becoming renewed. As you read the divine will, as you read the book of heaven, your family is changing. As you read the book of heaven, the world is changing. It is so powerful. The word Jesus Christ speaking these words to Luisa, that as you read them, as you begin to go, yes, yes to God, fiat, the world is saying it with you. We pray in the name of everyone and everything past, present and future. Jesus says the world is becoming renewed because God finds there, as it were, his new Garden of Eden. That's in the first chapter, the first page of volume 26. He says this to Luisa, the garden that's outside your room, Luisa, that garden, he says, is a simile of the Garden of Eden. And even though the flowers are not as beautiful and not as many, he says, you, Luisa, are the third Eve. Not the Eve, the destroyer, not the mother, queen of heaven and earth, but you are the third Eve. You bring the renewal, this perfect fulfillment of the divine will. Finally, there's a human born of original sin that can have this. Adam was not the son of God. Adam was not the mother of God. God looked for a soul, a human who was so docile that God could say, I can give you this gift. So what does God do with Louisa? With Adam, don't eat the tree. Don't eat of the fruit of the tree in the center of the garden. That's all I ask of you. With Louisa, don't eat, don't drink, don't sleep for the rest of your life. Stay in bed for the rest of your life. Which one of us could have done that? And then he says, when I find that you have passed the test, he says, then I will give it to the world. So she has passed the test. God has given this to the world, and it's ours if we want, Jesus says. So the new Garden of Eden is here. Beginning. It's just the beginning where God can dwell in loving companionship with his children. Herein, God reigns in the splendor of his glorified body and the immaculate heart. Again, the assumed body of Our Lady. The Heavenly Mother triumphs in the light of her body assumed into the glory of paradise. This triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is the divine will reigning in her children, that her children become like her son. That's the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And Our Lady said to Father Gobi, it would start in Mexico City. That's where it would start. And what we know is when the writings came out of the Vatican, they went to Corrado and went to Mexico City. So Acuna, his prayer group had already read 1 through 19 in Italian. They had the writings, and they were really focused on the writings of Louisa. And when they got these writings, that's when they started reading. For the first group, Mexico City, the triumph will begin in Mexico City. What's the triumph? The Eucharistic reign of Jesus, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. What's the Eucharistic reign? Jesus says to St. Faustina, you must become a living host. What does he say to Louisa? This is how you become a living host when you read volume 15 and 16. So everything's ready. And then what happens? A year later, Our Lady says to Father Gobi, everything's complete. Everything's done. I don't have to tell you anything more. What's done? What happened in 1997? Well, the writings came out in 1996. Everything's done. It's begun on earth. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary has begun on earth with the Book of Heaven. And it's not what we think. It's what God has planned. And this is what's so beautiful. So when the Heavenly Father decided to place his word, Jesus, in my virginal womb, Our Lady said, he found your mother ready to welcome Jesus with love and joy, being only intent on the perfect fulfillment of the divine will. Here you will be formed by me, Our Lady says, according to the plan of the Sacred Heart of my Son, who he has entrusted to me this formation. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is we begin to live the Eucharistic reign of Jesus, which where we become living hosts. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is we become more like her son. That's her triumph. So Jesus says, Our Lady says, here you will be formed by me according to the plan of my son that he's entrusted to me. Thus, each one of you will be helped by me, Mary, to carry out the perfect manner of the divine will alone. God is going to teach you through his mother, as we study, how to begin to live this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary that was breathed into Louisa. So in the temple, she says, my heart opened itself to an act of pure, uninterrupted love of the Lord while detachment from the world and creatures prepared me each day more and more to pronounce my perfect yes, perfect fiat to the divine will. And that's what we're learning. We're learning, how do you get out of worry? By saying fiat. Okay, Lord, I'm in this situation. The world is in this situation. My family's in this situation. What do I do? God says, let me take care of it. Give me your fiat and I'll take care of it. Give me your yes and I'll take care of it. So when we try to take care of it, we lose family members. When Our Lady tries to take care of it, when we give her the permission, we know that the family, the loved ones, those that are separated from the Holy Church will come back. We might not see it in our lifetime, but it's going to happen. Jesus says, ask, believe that you received and it is yours. Total trust in Jesus, confidence in Jesus. The final devotion I give to my church is, Jesus, I trust in you. So Jesus says, in the temple, Our Lady said, in the temple of my Immaculate Heart, your heart will too be purified. See, we want to see God. And you can only see God if you're pure of heart. So what do? We surrender our corrupt heart to the Immaculate Heart, to the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart, and say, you have to do this. I can't do it. You have to bring me this pure heart. So Jesus, she says this, your heart too will be purified in the temple of my Immaculate Heart. Your heart will be formed by me to be pure and incessant act of love for our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. I am leading you on the road of perfect love that you too may follow your mother in saying your yes, your fiat to the divine will. And who better than your Heavenly Mother can help you to love, to help you to understand, to help you have compassion for each of your brothers and sisters, to know and esteem each other. For this reason, a true reunion of Christians is not possible without an effort toward interior conversion and purification in order to attain solely the fulfillment of the divine will. So how's humanity going to fall in love with one another as God wants? This reunion of Christians, how's it going to happen? By the fulfillment of the divine will. Wait till you see. I mean, when the split in the church was a 1054, it was signed by in the Puglia area of Trani, the excommunication. But Jesus says, I'm going to bring the churches back together. When I talk to the Byzantine church, they understand the divine will far better than we do, the Latin rite. Everything's going to be unified. Everything's going to be one. He says, this is the divine will for you, that all may be one. And who better that I can help her children, who better than I, Our Lady says, can help her children travel along this difficult road? Your Heavenly Mother wants today to help you fulfill well, and only the divine will can do this. In the divine will can you do this. See, I can't do it. I can't do anything. But I know God in me can do anything and everything. So this is the will of your God, that your sanctification, your yes to the Father, yes to your will, that your kingdom, as in your kingdom, so also on earth, your will may be done, alone may be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your yes is what God is waiting for. This is the life of Mary. This is the life of Jesus. Is not my will, but your Heavenly Father, your will be done. Our Lady says, I am the slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say. This yes, Father, to the gifts of your immense mercy, which shines forth in your Son, whom through the yes of the Virgin Mary, you have once for all given us Jesus, salvation, Jesus, life, Jesus, truth, Jesus, font of divine mercy, Jesus, perfect fulfillment of the divine will, Jesus. This is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We become like her Son in the divine will. The new era, Our Lady says, which I announce to you, coincides with the complete fulfillment of the divine will. So at last there is coming about that which Jesus taught you to ask for from the Heavenly Father. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the time when the divine will of the Father, the divine will of the Son, the divine will of the Holy Spirit is being accomplished by humanity. From the perfect fulfillment of the divine will, starting with Louisa, the whole world is becoming renewed because God finds there, as it were, his new Garden of Eden, where he can dwell in loving companionship with his creatures walking and talking with God in the cool of the evening. That's where we're going. This new beginning has been planned by God from the beginning of time. And all that God is asking is, can you say yes to this? And see, Our Lady said fiat, yes, and God did 100% of the work. Her yes made let God do what he wanted. The same thing with us. The divine will is not difficult. The divine will is for children. The language of heaven is so simple. It's exactly what Jesus says. We complicate it by our doubts, our worry, our fears, our anxieties, our complaints, our negativities. But when we say fiat to God, he says, okay, just let me show you what this is. He's so gentle. He's so loving. And that's one of the things that he wants you to know, of how much he has planned, how much he wants to bring about this new and divine way of holiness. This new and divine way of holiness is everything. It's everything. Our God, again, it's going to be bumpy. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it's going to be over quickly. It's the pains of a woman in labor. It's painful and it's difficult, but it's not eternal. We're going to go through this. And this is what you have to understand. If you're reading the calendar, Sunday on the Feast of Christ the King on November 26th, that whole day of reading, it was ecstasy. It was how much our God loves us. He's giving us the opportunity to read and study and to put this into practice. And that's why he needs us to cooperate with him. He needs us just to say fiat. So how do we say fiat? What does the fiat mean? It's what Father Elijah said earlier, a half hour a day reading. That's close to what happens when you read the calendar. Sometimes it can be up to an hour, but it's exciting. You're learning the secrets of the kingdom. You're learning the secrets of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus says to Luisa. Luisa, the Holy Spirit's going to reveal to you his secrets. This is, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle us the fire of your love. This is the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. This is where, when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll reveal to you all truths and he will remind you of everything that I have said. That's what you get when you're reading the Book of Heaven. Nothing can compare to this. Sacred scripture becomes alive. Dogma and doctrine becomes alive. It's so magnificent. The lives of the saints, you see where they were going. Yes, everything was going towards the divine will, but it wasn't for them. The divine will is for us. To live in the divine will is ours. For them to do the divine will was theirs. But to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, God has given this to us. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, there's no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. Everything becomes fiat. Everything becomes the life of Jesus and Mary through Luisa. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Luisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.